Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Mkanda Wira, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, thank you. How are you?
Very well, thank you, my pastor. How are you doing?
I am doing well, thank you.
Fantastic. I hope you've had a good day.
Yes, I have. I'm just feeling tired for some reason, but it's been a good day.
Well, because it's a Friday, I think. Yeah, I think it's because it's a Friday. So, yeah, it's otherwise your week has been good?
It's been lovely. I have had a wonderful week.
Oh, lovely. Well, thank you so much, Pastor. Now, I do want to just get us to the last one, because the final one on this ongoing lifelong lesson of forgiveness. Let's talk about God's forgiveness towards us. Mm-hmm. How do we receive forgiveness from God?
All right. Good question. So the Bible tells us how. First of all, I'd like to say that in all the scriptures that I am going to give, there are only two things that are involved: repentance and faith. Mm. So let's begin with Mark chapter 1, verse 15. Then we'll move on to John, 1 John 1, 9. And then we'll also go to Isaiah and Psalms. So Mark chapter 1, verse 15. This is what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Let me begin from verse 14. And now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, verse 15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, this is Jesus' preaching. He says, believe, repent and believe in the gospel. And so, first way God gives us forgiveness, how we receive it from God, is by repenting and by having faith in Him. And so when we believe and we have faith, and we repent from all our sins, then we receive God's forgiveness. Now, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says that when we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all our sins and to wash us from all unrighteousness. Confession, which is what Mark says, repentance, when confession comes, when we believe that God will take away our sins, He is faithful and just to wash us from all our sins. Now, let me ask you to come with me to Isaiah. Now, Isaiah 45. Now, I like how Isaiah puts it. Isaiah 43, verse 25. This is what Isaiah says. Verse 25, Isaiah 43, pardon. So it says, I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake. And I will remember your sins no more.
Yeah.
So God says He will forgive our sins for His own sake. And so God is a lot more willing to forgive us than we think He is, because He knows it is for His sake, because He loves us as His creatures. Now, this is what David says in the Psalms, Psalm 32, verse 5. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. This is what David says. And so, how we receive God's forgiveness is simply by acknowledging that we have done wrong, repenting of that sin, confessing it all in the name of Jesus, and God, who is faithful, will forgive us. And so when we confess, we have faith that God has heard our prayers. Somebody says that there's the foremost prayer that God will answer immediately is a prayer of confession. God wastes no time when we confess our sins immediately. In fact, the Bible says even before we speak, even before the words come out of our mouths, God already knows the heart.
Yeah.
And he answers the prayer of confession immediately.
Lovely.
God's forgiveness.
Now, you know what you're saying is quite important. And we're talking about forgiveness here. So does it mean that God ignores my prayers if I'm holding on to a grudge? You know, not out of spite, but because the wrong done to me was just so deep and evil.
All right. This is yet another good question. Now, let me withhold my answer until after we read scripture. So, let's go to scripture first. Let's start with Matthew chapter 5. Now, this is Jesus while delivering the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, 23 through to 24. This is what the Bible says. Matthew 5. 22 to 24. So, verse 22, the Bible says, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause," now that's not your question. The question is, you with do have cause. So you hold on to a grudge because there is cause. But let's just read what scripture says. "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, 'Raka,' shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be in danger of hellfire." Now, verse 23, the Bible says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and remember that your brother has something against you, Leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Now, this is Jesus teaching his disciples in the Sermon on the Mount. So he says, when you remember that there is something that you are holding on to, or that a brother of yours is holding on to for the wrong you did to them, do not offer your gift. Leave the gift and then go and reconcile with your brother. And after reconciliation, then come back and continue your job and offer that gift. Now, like I said, I want to hold on to my answer for a minute because I want scripture to speak first. So let's go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Then we'll go to Psalm, and then I will then answer the question. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, this is what scripture says. 1 Peter 3, verse 7. All right. Oh, no, I'm in the wrong book. Okay, I have my Peter. Chapter 3, verse 7. This is what the Bible says. "Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and being heirs together, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered." Now, this passage from verse 1 of chapter 3 is talking about how wives ought to conduct themselves. And after reading off that segment, Peter then turns to the husband and says, "Dwell with your wives, giving honor to them as though they are co-heirs with you to the grace of life. By so doing, your prayers will not be hindered." In other words, Peter is saying to husbands that if you don't give honor to a wife, you don't dwell with them with understanding, your prayers may be hindered. That's what Peter is saying to husbands. Now, let's go to Psalm 34. I'll read just a few verses. Psalm 34. And then we'll answer that question. Yes, Psalm 34. Let's begin reading from verse 12. We'll end at verse 15. It's just a very brief, very short passage. So, No, actually, let me begin from verse 11. Psalm 34, 11, the Bible says, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and who loves many days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes," that's verse 15, "the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." And so, having read scripture in three different passages, all that the Bible keeps talking about is how one ought to be in heart for him to have his prayers answered before God. So in the first part, when you remember that your brother has something against you, then you know something is not right. So go and deal with that first. That's what Jesus says. Peter says, "Husbands, live peacefully with your wives, honoring them. By so doing, your prayers will not be hindered." When David comes into the picture, he says, "The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. And his face is against those who do evil." And so, when the heart is harboring hatred because of a wrong done to us, we are not right with God, simply because we are harboring hatred in the heart. And so that has the potential to keep us away from being answered by God, even in prayer. In other words, scripture is very clear that there are conditions in which we live that would hinder us from receiving answers to our prayers. And one of those things the Bible is saying is hatred harbored in the heart. And so, for us to have God answer our prayers, we ought to be like those that David says in verse 15 of chapter 34, those who are righteous, because the Lord's eyes are upon them and his ears are open to their cries. I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, it does answer. Tough one, eh? I must say, one indeed. Now, tell me, Pastor, can I be forgiven for a sin that I am likely, you know, to commit again? I mean, for example, the case of a destructive, you know, addictions, you know, compulsive liars and other behaviors that are not easy to eradicate. So you ask for forgiveness, for instance, because you have, you basically defiling the temple of the Lord by smoking or putting in drugs. Now, these are not easy. In most cases, in fact, all of the cases, you don't just stand up and say, "I've stopped," and then it's gone. You've got to work through it, and you're going to be faltering and stuff like that. And God knows that, oh, this one is going to sin again. Is he now going to be able to forgive that sin when he knows very well that you're likely going to fall into it again?
Nice question. All right, so let's answer it with scripture again. So, you have sought forgiveness wholeheartedly, but you are addicted to something, and you know that even though you wholeheartedly want to change, you are still weak against that addiction. But your heart is sincere as you ask for forgiveness.
Yeah.
How does God deal with that? So, this is what scripture says. Luke chapter 17, verse 3 and 4. And then we'll go to Matthew 18. So Luke 17, 3 and 4 says, "Take heed to yourself. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him." Verse 4 says, "And if he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times in a day returns to you saying, 'I repent,' you shall forgive him." Now, this tells me that if God would ask me to forgive a brother seven times, then he himself is willing to forgive me seven times or more.
Yeah.
But what does What does Matthew say? Matthew chapter 18. I want to read from verse 21 to verse 20, just 21 and 22. Matthew chapter 18. This is what the Bible says. Then Peter came to him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times?" And verse 22 says, and Jesus said to him, "I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven." Mm. That's how Jesus answers the question of addiction. He knows, because he knows our conditions, he knows our hearts, he knows all things. He knows that our hearts are sincere when we want to live off that addiction. But we are still addicted. We are weak against that addiction. But we are sincere and we want to turn from it. When God comes to hear a prayer of confession, he accepts that prayer of confession. And because he is a compassionate God, his compassion is beyond measure. And so, because of his compassion, he understands every contrite heart. And because we confess, he gives us the Holy Spirit, who he says would convict the world of all sin. When the Holy Spirit comes into the heart because we have made a prayer of confession in sincerity, the Holy Spirit performs in our hearts sanctification, which is not a day's job.
Okay.
It is done over time. And because the Holy Spirit purifies us from the inclination toward sin, over time, he gives us the victory over any form of addiction. And I want to say it right here that we have, through the Holy Spirit, the ability, the power to overcome any form of addiction. But true, it cannot be done in a day. It has to be over. It would be overcome over time. But because the Holy Spirit understands that we are sincere, he gives us then a new inclination so that over time, he overcomes our inclination toward that sin. And that addiction can be overcome. I have seen it done, and I have witnessed a lot of people who have gained victory over very, very terrible addictions. And so the truth is, God is willing to forgive us as many times as we are willing to confess. But when we confess, we must strive. We must work toward overcoming that addiction. And because he gives us the Holy Spirit, by his power, we will gain the victory over all kinds of addictions that we may be dealing with. Because God is compassionate. And his compassion is beyond our measure. We can't measure his compassion by how many times we seek his forgiveness. He's willing to give us forgiveness as many times as we are willing to work on our own characters, work on our sins, and leave our sins. That's how good God is.
Yeah, he is indeed good. Now, if I feel guilty after confessing, and I know that, no, man, I just feel so guilty and heavy after confessing. Would you say that it happens? Or after confessing, I must be free of guilt? How does it work?
So, you must be free of guilt after confession. Because that's what God does. So, he takes the guilt and gives the peace when we confess. So you must feel free, guilty-free. I know, I have felt it sometimes. Sometimes that guilt still remains, even when you have confessed. Now, I have heard people say, that's just the devil speaking to you and saying, nah, he has not forgiven you. The devil, in truth, will tell us, speak to us, tell us, your sin is too great for God to forgive. And so even when you feel you are contrite, God has not forgiven because your sin was too great. There's no such thing. God will forgive any kind of sin. There's no sin that is too big for God to forgive. This Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Mm. Now, let me read both verse 6 and 7. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Mm. So if it is a request of confession, let it be made known to God. And then verse 7, the Bible says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Jesus Christ. So this is what God does. He gives us this kind of peace that surpasses all understanding, that is beyond human understanding. And he takes the guilt, so much so that we should feel that God has forgiven us by the peace that he gives us when he takes the guilt. But there are times when the guilt still remains. When such a thing happens to you, just remember that God is faithful and just. So depend on his word, believe his word, because his word says he's faithful and just. With every confession we make, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And so when you feel guilty, it's not because God has not forgiven that sin. It is simply because that we still haven't forgiven ourselves. And so you need to forgive yourself even when you seek forgiveness from God. Release yourself, because God has taken away that guilt. So let go of it. Give yourself a slack. God has forgiven it. So be at peace. Don't think that God will withhold his forgiveness, because he says in his word, he is just and faithful to forgive when we confess. And so he will give you peace and he will take the guilt. Yep. That's what he does.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Pastor, your parting shot to all our listeners?
All right, let's do this. God loves humanity so much beyond our understanding. I think we'll only get to understand just how much God loves us when he comes to get us home. Because he loves us, the Bible tells us that he is willing to forgive us. And with every prayer of confession, it will never fall on deaf ears. God is willing to hear us and to forgive us. And when he does, he gives us peace that surpasses all understanding. And so, dear brothers and sisters, come to God and ask him. Give him your greatest guilt, and he will take it and give you peace instead. And I pray that God may give us guilt-free conscience, that we may see him when he shall return. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you so much for actually setting time each day this week talking to us about this subject. Very important subject that I think every human being out there should be able to practice it. Not only those who call themselves Christians, but beyond that, we do pray that if you were listening, it doesn't matter your religious persuasion, I think forgiveness is one of the main features in our lives as humanity. Mfundisi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me. It has been lovely. I pray that the children of God are blessed.
Blessings. Thank you.
Thank you. Blessings to you.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.